booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
I jumped the gun yesterday. I realize you are the welcomer.
Oh, no, please.
I am the welcomee.
I find you just as welcoming.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
Good.
And good.
You can just mix it up.
Mix it up. I'm Juliet Huddy, by the way. And we can talk about our morning screw-ups all day long. But first, we have to get over to Deb Valentine. Actually, she's up in 3 minutes with What's Trending New York. But first...
This is the Top 5 at 5.
Oh, my God, what a nightmare it was yesterday. Just hours after a company whistleblower accused the company of putting profit over safety, Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp went down. The outage began just before noon Eastern and lasted about 6 hours. It was like Armageddon for some people, apparently. And it's not, by the way, it's not unusual for social platforms to go down. What is curious is the timing and the fact that it happened on a global scale. CEO Mark Zuckerberg issued a video mea culpa last night, blaming a bungled server update.
New research shows the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine effectiveness wanes after about 6 months. The Pfizer-funded study published in The Lancet found the vaccine's efficacy drops to 47% 6 months after being fully immunized. It also found the vaccine is about as effective against the Delta variant as the original virus, being 90% effective against Delta 1 month after full protection and 53% effective 4 months out. Researchers believe the decline in immunity is because of the amount of time since an individual received the shot and not because of the high contagiousness of the Delta variant.
A Florida tattoo artist says he gave Gabby Petito and Brian Laundry matching art on their fingers to represent their love last fall. Danny Nostrom says they looked perfectly happy and couldn't stop talking about a trip they were planning that summer. He says they also talked about how they were huge fans of true crime shows. Petito's body was found September 11th. Laundry went missing a few days later. And by the way, police are releasing that 911 call from the man who claims that he actually saw and spoke with Laundry near the Appalachian Trail over the weekend. Dennis David claims a man whose face and voice match Laundry's pulled up in a truck, possibly a Ford F-150, and asked for directions to California. Listen.
And I pull up next to him. He was talking wild. He said that his girlfriend loved him and he had to go out to California to see her. And I'm 99.99% sure that was him.
Senators will have another chance to vote on suspending the debt ceiling tomorrow. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has set up the vote where 60 senators will need to approve the bill to suspend the limit through December of 2022. GOP senators still have no intention to help Democrats get it done, even if it means the U.S. would default on its bills. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell again emphasized yesterday it's up to Democrats to raise the debt ceiling on their own.
And the famous daughter of Jane Roe, the woman who won the landmark Roe versus Wade case, clearing the way for women to get abortions, gave her first TV interview recently, and she ain't holding back. Shelley Thornton told GMA that she and her biological mom, whose real name was Norma McCorvey, never met, and there's a good reason for that.
Why did you decide never to meet Norma?
She didn't deserve to meet me. She never did anything in her life to get that privilege back. She never expressed genuine feeling for me or genuine remorse for doing the things that she did.
So you have no regrets that you never met her?
No regrets.
And that is your top five at five. Coming up in sports, well, I'm sure we've got some Yankees and Mets news.
Big game tonight for the Yankees, and the Mets have a big shakeup in the locker room.
Yes, I heard. I was listening to Frank's show earlier. Also, your history hit is coming up. This is the reason that Marie Antoinette and Louis XVI never saw Versailles again. That's coming up at 5:20. But first, let's head over to Deb for what's trending in New York. Hey, Deb.
What's trending?
Hey, Julia. All right. Good morning. Gunfire on the Upper West Side. Somebody opened fire about 10 o'clock last night. Some scary moments for people living there happened at the intersection of 72nd Street and Columbus Avenue. Nobody hurt, but the area had to be shut down for a time as investigators took a look at that crime scene and gathered evidence. Well, the union president for New York City Public Schools, who knows Michael Mulgrew, he's blasting New York City for this mandate for teachers and other school workers because it happened after school doors opened. He says this whole mandate, this whole issue, should have been put in place before school doors open this fall.
To have this additional challenge of staffing and all of that within the first month of the school year, it's not the right way to do this.
So 97% of teachers are vaccinated. Now, this also includes other workers. So if you combine those two, it comes to 95%. School's chancellor, Misha Ross Porter, says any teacher who's been suspended as of yesterday without pay can return if they get their COVID-19 shot. She says it's not too late.
To those who have not yet gotten vaccinated, it's never too late to get the life-saving vaccine. Get your first dose today. You are more than welcome to come back to work. Our students need you. Our city needs you.
So teachers did challenge this all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the court on Friday denied to hear that case. Well, there's been a surprise announcement from Andrew Yang. The New York businessman has switched his party affiliation from Democratic to Independent. Yang, you might remember, ran unsuccessfully for both President of the United States and Mayor of New York City. Well, a suspect's whereabouts unknown still this morning following Monday's subway push at the Times Square station. A woman waiting on the northbound 1, 2, and 3 platform shoved into an arriving train. She was taken to a hospital with a facial injury. The suspect is an African-American woman in her 30s, and this has left riders upset.
This is crazy. This is unbelievable.
It looked malicious. It's scary because that could happen to anybody when you least expect it.
And there have actually been more subway pushes this year than last. 20 subway pushes now compared to 17 last year. Well, Sid will tell you all about it later. New York Mets in the market for a new manager. The team has fired manager Luis Rojas after two seasons. And Julian and Frank, I don't know about you, but I did not have that winning Powerball ticket last night worth nearly $700 million. But it's just been announced that it was sold in California.
Oh,
I'm going to have to call my relatives out there and see if they won.
Be best friends with them again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get it. Yeah, definitely. You know what? I totally forgot to go get it. Oh, well, I wouldn't have won it anyway. Thanks so much, Deb. And from your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we have some showers early on today. Then it's just going to clear up. Well, it'll be cloudy this afternoon with a high of 68 degrees and a lot of humidity. So not the best day to open your windows. Tonight, we're getting down to a low of 62. May have another chance of rain in your area. And by tomorrow, things are looking better. We'll have mostly cloudy skies early, but then we'll have some, I don't know, mix of clouds and sun by the afternoon, or at least later in the day, a high of 72 degrees. Again, the humidity is kind of up there, so not necessarily the best day to turn your air conditioner off and open those windows, but I guess it's a subjective thing. Wednesday night, 63 degrees, some clouds. Thursday, we're looking at 75 degrees and a mix of clouds and sun. 79 degrees on Friday, and same thing, mix of clouds and sun. But we do start to see the humidity going down as we get closer to the weekend. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 61 degrees, Frank.
What's trending?
Here's what's trending around the nation. We'll start right here in our area. The so-called wrong-way air train between LaGuardia and Queens is done. Governor Kathy Hochul told the Port Authority to get back to work and come up with some other ideas to help folks get their flights. The air train was a pet project, as you know, of former Governor Andrew Cuomo, who resigned recently over sex harassment and assault allegations, actually this past August. And the oil has been stopped, but the cost could be epic devastation. Houston-based Amplify Energy Corp admitted its pipeline off the coast of California sprung a leak, dumping 126,000 gallons of refined oil into the Pacific, causing a slick that went on for 13 miles. And this wasn't crude, so it didn't sink to the bottom. It's refined. It's very much thinner. So it rose to the top. Huntington Beach mayor says her beaches, some of the best on the West Coast, by the way, could be closed for months causing economic and environmental devastation. And the Nobel Prize for Medicine goes to not anyone having to do with COVID, which is kind of a surprise. The prize committee announced Monday morning the prestigious award is going to David Julius and Artem Patapushin, who discovered how bodies turn physical sensations like hugs or sunlight into electrical messages. And it's a go. Jeff Bezos and his Blue Origin space company confirming Star Trek actor William Shatner will be aboard their next flight. Shatner's 90 years old. He'll be the oldest person ever to visit space. Liftoff is scheduled for, soon, October 12th. Frank?
Well, here's what's trending around the world. A trio of high-ranking members of the Biden administration are going south of the border to discuss security issues with the Mexican government. Republican Senator John Cornyn says the only thing they should be talking about is the surge of Haitian migrants who are headed to the southern border. Some 60,000 Haitian nationals are migrating from South America with hopes of seeking asylum in the United States. The Secretary of State, the head of Homeland Security, and the U.S. Attorney General will be meeting in Mexico City with Mexico's foreign minister. The remains of a Pearl Harbor victim are identified decades after his death. The Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency announced yesterday that previously unidentified remains are those of Navy Fireman First Class Dennis Hiskett of Nebraska. The 20-year-old Hiskett was assigned to the battleship USS Oklahoma at the time of December 7, 1941's attack on Pearl Harbor. Hiskett will be buried in Mission Hills, California on December 11th. 30 Guinness World Records are now in the books after the Virgin Money London Marathon. The record-keeping agency says a total of 54 records were attempted by runners at the race on Sunday, and 30 of them were broken, including the fastest time to finish a marathon while wearing pajamas. Other records that went down include fastest times for runners wearing Wellington boots, a safari suit, a tree costume, mountain climbing gear, and more. And finally, Victoria's Secret is teaming up with British designer Stella McCartney for its first ever mastectomy bra. The wire-free bra that contains pockets for prosthetics debuted on Friday, the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. In a statement, Victoria's Secret's chief marketing officer said they want to encourage more younger women to self-check.
Okay. Just one quick thing, in entertainment. Derek Hough is sitting out Monday's Dancing with the Stars, according to Tyra Banks, who's the host, because of a possible COVID-19, exposure. So he has tested negative so far. And, we got to get back to those headlines, Frank. Just a couple more for you.
Yeah, quite a bit happening. Missouri's governor is denying attempts to spare the life of a man on death row. Mike Parson released a statement saying the state is ready to carry out a sentence of death against Ernest Johnson today. The Pope and two members of Congress have come out in support of Johnson, asking for the execution to be put aside because he's intellectually disabled. But the governor's office argued three juries have recommended the death penalty, and Mr. Johnson's claim that he is not competent to be executed has been rejected six times. Johnson was convicted of murdering three people during a robbery in 1994. A Texas board is recommending a posthumous pardon for George Floyd. It'd be for a 2004 drug conviction in Houston, where Floyd grew up and spent 10 months in jail. He was arrested by a former police officer who was later charged with murder and accused of lying to get a warrant. Other convictions secured by that cop have been tossed. Floyd was killed last year by a former Minneapolis cop during an arrest. And Jerry Seinfeld is promoting his Seinfeld sitcom streaming on Netflix. The comedian debuted a 90-second short over the weekend playing a Lego version of himself inside a Lego version of his sitcom apartment. So that's what's happening. Let's get
All
a look.
Right.
At Sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Well, for a while this summer, Luis Rojas was a potential Manager of the Year contender. Just a few months later, he's out of a job. Rojas was let go as manager of the Mets on Monday after two losing seasons. The team declined its option on his contract for 2022, making the announcement a day after finishing third in the NL East at 77-85 in Steve Cohen's first year of ownership. The move was no surprise, the first of several significant changes coming again this offseason for a club in constant turmoil. Some better news now, this time from the racetrack. Bubba Wallace made history yesterday by becoming the second black driver to win a NASCAR Cup Series race. The 27-year-old was in first place when officials called the race at Talladega Super Speedway because of rain, which gave him the win. Wallace, who drives a number 23 Toyota sponsored by McDonald's, pulled ahead at the race after driving through a crash and held his position for 5 laps. The race had 2 delays because of rain, but officials could not dry off the track and thus declared Wallace the winner. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Tapienza. Back to you guys.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano. And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
We might have to change that thing up a little. It sounds a little weird. Here's Juliet and Frank, and then here's the history. I don't know. Anyway, on this day, 232 years ago, 1789, a mob of starving, defiant Parisian peasant women, infuriated over the price of bread, began marching through the city of Paris, ransacking and attracting more supporters along the way. They then turned south, setting their sights on the Palace of Versailles. They arrived in a violent frenzy, ready to kill the king and his family, especially his Austrian-born queen, Marie Antoinette. King Louis XVI finally emerged on one of the balconies and promised the mob that his family would move from the opulence of the palace to a rundown former palace back in the city, the Tuileries, and under the watchful eyes, by the way, of the growing revolutionaries. King Louis and Marie Antoinette would never see Versailles again, and 1 year later, they both would be headless. And that is your history hit.
Well, quite a bit happening in the present day as well. A whole lot more headlines that you're going to be talking about and hearing about all day. The U.S. Postal Service is now offering a paycheck cashing service. The Washington Post reporting some post offices on the East Coast are testing out the new service. Customers can get Visa gift cards in exchange for their paychecks at locations in Washington, Baltimore, Falls Church, Virginia, and in the Bronx. A source told the Post that the pilot program could be expanded to more locations and more offerings. That could include ATMs and even bill-paying services.
And a brazen shootout on the streets of New York City. The NYPD releasing video Monday, hoping you can ID these men. The shots of them are pretty clear. It happened back on September 16th on 169th Street in the Bronx. You can see a group of guys running and crawling for cover as they shot down the sidewalk. It's pretty amazing. Shockingly, no one was injured. It's not clear who they were shooting at, but no matter, we need to identify these guys. Check out the NYPD's social media or go to my Twitter at JetSetJuliet.
That's not the only shooting that occurred this week, because a DEA agent is dead after a shooting on board an Amtrak train in Tucson, Arizona. Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus said agents were working with police on a routine search for guns and drugs on the stop train when a gunman just opened fire. Magnus said another DEA agent is in critical condition and a police officer was hurt during the ensuing gun battle. Magnus said the suspected gunman is dead and another suspect has been detained. The passengers and crew members, thankfully, were unharmed.
That's a strange story. It almost sounds like they knew what was going to happen there.
Yeah.
Former President Donald Trump is set to be deposed just before Christmas on December 23rd. It's part of a defamation suit filed by former Apprentice contestant Summer Zervos. She claims Trump sexually assaulted her at a Beverly Hills hotel back in 2007 and then defamed her when he branded those kinds of allegations by women lies on Twitter and retweeted a post calling Zervos a, quote, hoax.
And the mayor of Rochester, New York, is going to resign. Lovely Warren reached a plea deal that calls for her to leave office by December 1st. The Democrat was accused of violating campaign finance laws when she admitted to a misdemeanor. She and her estranged husband were also hit with charges, including endangering the welfare of a child, involving guns in her home that were secured properly. The plea deal resolves those charges.
A Philly hospital employee who shot and killed a colleague early Monday morning was wearing scrubs, body armor, and was carrying multiple weapons. The suspect took off in a U-Haul van, the crime spree ending in a shootout with police. 2 cops were hit, one in the elbow, the other in the nose. Thankfully, both are recovering. The suspect was also hit. He is expected to survive. No word yet on what triggered that attack.
Have you seen this show, The Squid Game, yet?
Not yet. It just... It just seems too heavy. I don't know.
Well, so I haven't either, but it is everybody is talking about this show. Apparently, it's pretty out there. And a South Korean survival thriller is now on track to become the biggest show ever on Netflix.
What?
Biggest show ever on Netflix. Bigger than House of Cards, bigger than Tiger King, bigger than anything. But that comes with a price, because more people are watching Squid Game means more users online. And that's why an internet provider in South Korea is suing. The company wants the streaming giant to cover costs of increased internet traffic and maintenance. Netflix says it will review the claim and find a workaround to prevent customers from being affected. This nine-episode series of Squid Game hasn't even been out 3 weeks yet, and it's already number one in 90 countries.
Oh, my Lord.
The writer and director recently said he had no plans for a second season, but appears to have changed his mind,
you think?
Hinting how the story might continue.
I mean, cops here in the city are on the hunt for a young woman that they say drugged a 23-year-old man and then took off with two Rolex watches, a Louis Vuitton bag, and a bottle of pricey cologne. He actually managed to snap a picture of the tattooed thief. You can check out the NYPD social pages for the shot. If you recognize her, please call Crime Stoppers.
Today's World Teachers Day. This year's theme is Teachers at the Heart of Education Recovery. The theme recognizes the work teachers are doing to get schools back to something like a normal education environment more than a year and a half into this coronavirus pandemic. A five-day series of global and regional events will spotlight the effect the pandemic has had on the teaching profession.
You know, I've wanted to do this story for the last few days, so it's a little old, but I just love it. Underage partiers here in the city and in other places, really, are getting a dose of reality because of their vaccine doses. The New York Post reporting young people, as in kids not old enough to drink, are getting turned away from bars and clubs in droves. Turns out the birth date on their vaccination cards doesn't match the one on their, you guessed it, their fake ID.
Interesting.
I love it.
I am seeing that also with older people as well. They have a photo of someone else's vax card, and then they'll flash, you know, their own ID in the hopes that the people checking don't look too quickly. So,
oh, really?
Yes, I have seen that. Yes, in New York.
Oh,
absolutely.
God, people, that's disgusting.
A foundation has been named after a Florida woman killed during a cross-country road trip with her fiancé, and it is now up and running. Gabby Petito's parents started this foundation to raise money and help families of missing children. Petito disappeared in August and was found dead in Wyoming last month after Brian Laundrie returned to their home without her. The foundation's first official fundraiser is October 17th here in New York. Donors can also buy bracelets on the website.
And a replica of Michelangelo's famous statue of David is leaving some folks scratching their heads. The 17-foot-tall piece, which actually was 3D printed, which is pretty wild, is part of a display at the Italian Pavilion at the Dubai Expo, which showcases examples of innovation and culture from countries around the globe. But hoping to avoid offending Muslims, David's famous bits have been covered up. Artists and critics are not happy. Frankly, Politics is coming up at 5:35. What are we talking about today?
Well, you might have heard Deb mention it earlier, but some pretty interesting news from Andrew Yang this week. His new book is out, and in the book, he calls for forming a new political party. And yesterday, he announced that he's no longer a Democrat. I'll tell you why he left the Democratic Party and what he's planning to do next.
I am so interested to hear about this, because I have been saying this all along, too. BizBuzz is coming up at 5:38, plus hoping to plan a last-minute Halloween trip. Here are some of the most haunted places you actually may want to visit. Jet Set Juliet up at 5:40. But first, let's head over to Deb for What's Trending New Jersey.
What's trending?
All right, Juliet and Frank, a veteran Deptford Township police officer in a lot of hot water. He allegedly tried to strangle a woman during an off-duty domestic violence call last week. This officer is identified as 36-year-old Myron Ford, arrested last Thursday. His status, though, with that department is unclear. Now, if he is found guilty, he could face up to a decade in prison, and that's because New Jersey's Governor Phil Murphy last year signed a bill back in July that would make strangulation assault a felony. Big carjacking in Newark, New Jersey. Cops say a driver under arrest after allegedly crashing a Nissan stolen at gunpoint in Jersey City about 3:15 yesterday morning. Now, the suspect ended up crashing this stolen vehicle at Summer and Elwood Avenues in Newark and was taken to a hospital. The name of the suspect not yet released by Newark cops. The person carjacked wasn't hurt. And multiple shootings in Newark left five people hurt in less than an hour Saturday. Two victims are stable, a third in critical condition. So far, no arrests. Well, sadly, it is back to all remote learning in Creskill, New Jersey, and parents and students are all devastated, as well as teachers. Now, of course, they had been on remote learning. They're back to it, and that could last for up to a year. It's all because the school suffered severe damage due to Hurricane Ida. So the district faced with the possibility of a year or more of remote learning. Damage amounts to millions of dollars, and this parent says her daughter is absolutely devastated because of this.
My eighth grader had a really hard time socially, emotionally, with being in COVID, and then she was so excited to go back to school, and then when this happened, it was devastating.
And so you ought to see these photos. The campus was underwater for over 30 hours, and the district superintendent says despite all the walls and the floors and furniture and everything that has to be replaced, they've got major repairs and replacements for things like boilers and water pumps and that kind of thing. So they're going to be out for over a year. Back to Juliet.
Thank you very much. And by the way, no, I'm not directing this at you, Deb, but, you know, as we start to get older, even when we're in our younger years, like in our 20s, you see a lot of people worrying about their appearance in the future. And I certainly am one of these people. I'll admit it. I mean, I turned 52 and look, things start to go south. Literally, your skin starts to sag, and there are things that you can do to try to mitigate this from getting too saggy and, you know, having your jowls down at your feet. So maybe that's a little dramatic, but that's why I go to Dolce Aesthetics New York. This group pays a lot of attention to how you look and how you feel. And I know a lot of folks need to feel good, and one of the ways that they feel good is by looking good. And it's just a fact of life. Dolce Aesthetics does non-invasive, non-surgical treatments like Botox, fillers, cellulite reduction, hair removal, facials, lots of things to give your skin the kind of zhuzhing and the perk that it needs and deserves so that you can have a little bit of a younger look, a fresher look. I mean, that's kind of the name of the game, unfortunately. The choices are endless. I mean, you can do the facial stuff, they have butt lifts, they have contouring, that type of stuff too. Dolce Aesthetics has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now on the island in Oceanside. So it's convenient, it's accessible, and you can relax. And you don't have to do any, you know, needles if you don't want to. I mean, you can just go in there again and get a facial. So if you're ready to experience prime results, go see my girl Jen. Jen is awesome. Text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95000 for 10% off your next treatment. And you can visit them at DolceAestheticsNewYork.com. That's D-O-L-C-E, Aesthetics, New York, NY.com.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Paul, coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, an old English inn, a Scottish castle, a Russian canal, the coolest haunted places you actually may want to visit. But first, it's your top five at 5:30, and we're starting out with an update on that horrific car crash in New Rochelle. The victims have been identified. It killed a father and one of his twin sons. They have been ID'd. Troy Carter is the father. He died after the car he was driving veered off the Hutchinson River Parkway early Sunday morning near New Rochelle. His son, 7-year-old Carmelo Carter, also died. Carmelo's twin, Romello, is in critical condition. Their 11-year-old sister, Tiana, also in critical condition. The family is from Hempstead.
And new research shows the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine effectiveness wanes after about 6 months. The Pfizer-funded study published in The Lancet found the vaccine's efficacy drops to 47% 6 months after being fully immunized. It also found the vaccine is about as effective against the Delta variant as the original virus, being 90% effective against Delta 1 month after full protection and 53% effective 4 months out. Researchers believe the decline in immunity is because of the amount of time since an individual received the shot and not because of the high contagiousness of the Delta variant.
Just hours after a company whistleblower accused the company of putting profit over safety, Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp went down. The outage began just before noon Eastern and lasted about 6 hours.
Senators will have another chance to vote on suspending the debt ceiling tomorrow. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has set up the vote where 60 senators will need to approve the bill to suspend the limit through December of 2022.
Stephanie Grisham's much-touted tell-all comes out today. The latest excerpt is a doozy. Former Trump press secretary claiming insiders worried the Trump family would embarrass the United States after elbowing their way into the state dinner with Queen Elizabeth back in 2019. One high-ranking official reportedly saying, quote, "We're going to look like the Beverly Hillbillies." Grisham told GMA why she's speaking out now.
I regret that, and especially now watching him and so many people push the false election narrative, I now want to, in whatever way I can, educate the public about the behaviors within the White House, because it does look like he's going to try to run in 2024.
And that is your top five at 5:30, Frank.
And now, Frankly Politics.
Andrew Yang says he's breaking up with the Democratic Party. The former presidential and New York City mayoral candidate confirmed in a blog he's officially switched his party affiliation to independent. A Democrat for over 25 years, Yang called his shift a strangely emotional experience, but said he's confident this is the right decision. He characterized the nation's political system as stuck due in part to increased polarization, adding his new lack of affiliation with either party means he can be even more honest about the system and the people in it. He explained a bit of his decision with Anderson Cooper on CNN last night.
I've been a Democrat for 26 years, Anderson, but if there's a theme of all the segments on your show tonight that I saw, it was that polarization is at record high levels in the United States. Political stress is approaching civil war levels. Mm-hmm. And the question is, how can we bring the temperature of the country down? And I want to be the metaphorical wet blanket for the country. But I'm bringing not just, hopefully, some kind of soothing words, but an actual policy fix that will help bring the temperature of the country down by changing the political incentives of our leaders. Because right now, if you're a member of Congress, your job is to please the 20% most extreme on either flank of the population. What we have to do is change it so that you have to try and appeal to 51% of the population, and that would bring the temperature of the country down very, very quickly, almost overnight.
Amen.
In his new book, Forward, the last chapter deals with creating a new political party, which he calls the Forward Party, in which he calls for a 6-point agenda, which includes universal basic income and ranked choice voting.
Very, very interesting. Mm. I've been a big supporter of breaking off because I agree completely with him.
Yeah, same here.
Biz Buzz.
The opening bell rings this morning after a down day on Wall Street. All three major indexes tumbled nearly 1% or more on inflation fears and rising Treasury bond yields. Tech shares, including Apple, Amazon, and Microsoft, slid as nervous investors fled big tech. Social media giant Facebook, no surprise here, fell 5.5% after whistleblower claims and a major outage. At the closing bell, the Dow fell 323 points. The S&P 500 lost 56, and the NASDAQ plunged 311 points. And speaking of that Facebook situation, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg lost more than $6 billion due to the massive outage that took
Boo-hoo.
Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp offline for 6 hours. Zuckerberg took the big financial hit because Facebook stocks that make up the bulk of his wealth were down nearly 5% yesterday. Zuckerberg's net worth fell to $121.6 billion, dropping him to fifth place on Bloomberg's list of the richest people on earth. Juliet.
Thank you very much, Frank. Was that Joe?
I think so. Yeah, it was either Joe or Matt.
Hysterical. Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry I laugh so hard, but those things crack me up. I love the behind the scenes nonsense of TV shows and radio and stuff like that.
It's really See, hilarious. There's nothing like live radio, am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, time now for your Jet Set Julia travel update. I love my series, as you guys know, and this one is going to be a humdinger Humdinger, I tell you. My favorite holiday is Halloween. I mean, I do love Christmas, but Halloween, I go all out. I'm like a 13-year-old again. However, the haunting part of Halloween seems to get lost, you know, in this commercialism of the day. So, with inspiration from Condé Nast Traveler, one of my favorites, here is inspiration for those of you who may want to put a little terror in your next trip. Today, we start with the most haunted places in Europe. I'm dying to visit Romania. I'm telling you. It just seems so interesting.
Well, that's where Transylvania is, right?
Off the beaten track.
To see Dracula's house.
Exactly. You might, too. You might want to visit, too, if you visit the Hoiabasu Forest there. This is so crazy, Frank. Have you ever heard of this place?
No.
People who have passed through this forest report feelings of anxiety, rashes, and nausea. Some believe it's even a portal to the other side. Maybe that's why they call it the Bermuda Triangle of Transylvania. Dracula's castle is only a four-hour drive away, Bran Castle. I mean, you want full-on freaky for Halloween. I think Romania definitely fits the bill. England's picturesque Tudor homes may give off that quintessential Christmas vibe on the outside, but inside, some Tudors are terrifying. The ancient Ram Inn is considered one of the most haunted places in all of England. Hello! Goodbye. I would not want to go in here. It was built in 11... I actually would, but I want to go in and out real quick. It was built in 1145, and it has housed priests. It was a housing place for slaves. But before that, it was the site of an ancient pagan burial ground. Oh. And I'll be stopping by the Langham Hotel in London on my girls' trip at the beginning of December, faux show. But you will not catch me staying overnight. The spirits at the Langham are supposedly so intense here that this is true. A bunch of English national cricket team players hightailed it out of there back in 2014, claiming that they felt sudden heats and lights and an unexplained presence during the night. This is actually true. This is a real story. I tweeted it out. Was it Emperor Louis Napoleon III or the German prince who hurled himself out of a top floor? If these 153-year-old walls could talk, if there were ever a site that has haunted written all over it, of course, come on, it's the Tower of London. The former palace built by William the Conqueror in 1066 turned execution site. You know, Henry VIII's wives, Anne Boleyn and Catherine Howard, both had somewhat unpleasant experiences there when their heads were sent toppling off their bodies. The famous boy princes disappeared in 1483, never to be seen again. Until their remains showed up in the 1600s, and they were all kept there at one time at the Tower of London. To Ireland now, Leap Castle was built sometime in the 1200s, and since then, this place, they say it's like Game of Thrones on steroids. It's been the seat of a power struggle between the O'Carroll clan. They were notorious for murdering their guests. Poisoning their dinner guests is one of their favorite tools, which, by the way, they put in a secret dungeon that wasn't found out until I think the 20th century. They would put their prisoners in this dungeon, and then all of a sudden they would open a trap door and the prisoners would fall down and be pierced on wooden spikes below, basically left there to die.
What a way to go.
Oh, one O'Carroll even killed his own brother with a sword. The victim was a priest. Okay, so all you wacky romantics out there, you can get married or renew your vows at another of Ireland's most haunted properties, the Crumlin Road Jail. In Belfast, was notorious for hanging prisoners whose bodies jailers buried within the prison walls. Today it holds concerts. I'm guessing death metal would fit in quite nicely there. And yes, weddings. And I've often wondered what the rustic overgrown island near Venice is. I've seen it many times and I just didn't know, but now I do and I'll never visit. Actually, no one can. Poveglia Island is off limits, but at one time it housed the victims of the bubonic plague. It even stored Napoleon's weapons after he sacked the main island of Venice. But its time as an insane asylum was when there were like torturous medical experience going on there. That has created its creepy reputation. You can still see the ruins of the macabre hospital. And apparently here are the bells from the bell tower, which was removed decades ago. And one more. If you've ever visited Paris, perhaps you had no idea, but you were possibly walking over millions of dead bodies. The catacombs of Paris are open to tourists who can walk the tunnels lined with beautifully arranged displays of no, not flowers, kids, but bones of the 6 million dead bodies, many of them who suffered horrific deaths during the French Revolution. And that is your Jet Set Juliet travel update today. I have my series continuing tomorrow with some more European and international scary locations. Franck.
Thank you, Juliet. Yes. I am looking forward to seeing more of those scary locations tomorrow.
I love some of this stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Fascinating.
Absolutely. Also fascinating to see what the Yankees will do this evening. Here to tell you about that and the rest of what's happening in sports, here's Matt Sapienza.
Well, the Yankees should have a good match tonight, but so far things are not looking good for the Mets. Their season's over, but for a while this summer, Luis Rojas was a potential manager of the year contender. Just a few months later, he's out of a job. Rojas was let go as the Mets manager yesterday after losing two seasons. The team declined its option on his contract for 2022, making the announcement a day after finishing third in the NL East at 77 and 85 in Steve Cohen's first year of ownership. The move was no surprise, the first of several significant changes coming again this offseason for a club in constant turmoil. Some better news now, this time from the racetrack. Bubba Wallace made history yesterday by becoming the second black driver to win a NASCAR Cup Series race. The 27-year-old was in first place when officials called the race at Talladega Super Speedway because of rain, which gave him the win. Wallace, who drives a number 23 Toyota sponsored by McDonald's, pulled ahead at the race after driving through a crash and held his position for five laps. The race had two delays because of rain, but officials couldn't dry off the track and thus declared Wallace the winner. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza. You make it a great Tuesday. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everyone. Time is 5:49. Let's get a check of the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It's going to be another rainy day, at least early on. We'll have showers early, and then it'll be cloudy in the afternoon with a high of 68 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 62. Tomorrow, we're looking at cloudy skies early, becoming a mix of clouds and sun later on in the day, a high of 72. The humidity is really going to be up there, so it's not going to feel like the kind of weather where you want to just blast open your windows and lay there comfortably. It's going to be a bit moist outside. I'm sorry to say that word. Tomorrow night, we're looking at, a lot of humidity, a few clouds, low of 63. On Thursday, a mix of clouds and sun will get up a little bit warmer to 75 degrees, but still that humidity is up there in the 70s. Thursday night, cloudy skies, 63 degrees for a low. By Friday, we're looking at just around, hovering around 80. We'll have clouds and sunshine. Humidity will start to go down a bit. I have to tell you, the weekend is looking a little bit lame. Clouds, low 70s, maybe some showers on Sunday. So looks like the best days are going to be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are fine. We'll have some sun. Won't be too bad. Just a little bit of humidity. 61 degrees right now in New York. And WABC News time is 5:50. Let's get to some other topics making news, starting with politics. Experts now say a recent legal win for former reality star turned Trump advisor Omarosa could mean trouble for the former president. Last week, a New York arbitrator ruled that the Trump campaign's NDA, or non-disclosure agreement, that he made employees, including Omarosa, sign, was too vague to enforce. Legal eagles now say that could provide precedent for MAGA rebels and other Trump frenemies. And in medical news, some possibly incredible news for families dealing with a loved one who has Alzheimer's or things like spinal cord injuries or multiple sclerosis. Scientists believe they may have found a drug that helps nerve cells mend themselves, reversing the damage essentially caused by disease or injury. Testing on humans starts next year, and if it's successful, it could be available to patients within 5 years. That is really something. Going overseas now, an historic bridge over the River Tiber in Rome caught fire over the weekend. Officials say it likely started with a gas canister used by homeless people living underneath. Part of the stretch collapsed into the water. Now, this is a pretty famous bridge. It was known, it is known to locals as the Ponte di Ferro or Iron Bridge because it's made of iron. And it's actually the only non-stone bridge in Rome. It was built in 1863 and it connects the Ostiense and Portuense neighborhoods, which are very, very populated. And a Swedish artist, this is a strange one, who has been under police protection since drawing a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad with a dog's body, has died. It's how he died that I think is what is of concern. By the way, this piece that he wrote, that he drew, outraged Muslim extremists to the point where he has had, Lars Vilks has had multiple assassination attempts on his life. And his life has essentially been in danger ever since. That's why police in Sweden are investigating a car crash Sunday that killed the artist and his police protection. Officials say it's strange because the car was going very, very fast, 100 miles an hour in a 68 mile an hour ish zone. So they want to know why, and they continue to investigate. Imitation is the best form of flattery, they say. And a Chinese space tourism company just unveiled their new rocket, and it looks like they, I guess our folks should be very flattered because it looks very familiar. Kind of like if Blue Origin's New Shepard and SpaceX's Starship got together and had a little baby rocket. The company, this Chinese company, plans to send 7 passengers into space on each mission. And a new study shows transgender athletes do have an edge over their teammates. The report from Sport England says there is a challenge in trying to balance fairness and safety with inclusion. The agency recommending officials create a universal or an open category just for trans competitors. And talk to strangers. It is actually good for the soul. Researchers in Chicago had people engage in a series of conversations on heavy and lighthearted topics. The team found having small talk with someone you know is way less interesting than having compelling conversations with someone you don't. I completely agree with that. And Frank, finally, sharing pictures of food on social media could result in bullying, not from your friends, but from your calories. Research shows it takes diners longer to feel full when they spend their meals taking pictures of their cuisine. And those are your headlines.
All right.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Here to enlighten us with and give us a preview of what's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show is the one and only Sid Rosenberg. First, how was the event that John Catsimatidis was honored at last night?
You know, Frank and Juliet, it was so beautiful. I had no idea. I'd never been to this Crest Hollow Country Club.
Oh, that's right in Huntington.
Yeah, Woodbury, I guess. But yeah, right there in Huntington. And what a gorgeous place. I mean, it was like going to a bar mitzvah, I swear to God. And all the big wigs from the Republican Party were there, from Nick Langworthy to...
Well, now I know why I was invited.
And Donnelly and Bruce Blakeman. But the really the speech of the night did belong to John. I know it sounds like I'm sucking up, but it really did. He was great. And Margo was there. It was terrific. And Chad and Emily and a bunch of us from the station. It was a really, really lovely event. Much better than I thought it was going to be.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Glad to hear it.
I'm exhausted.
I can imagine.
But
I would have been happy to go. I mean, he's right
yeah.
down the street.
And, of course, my partner was there with me, right?
Was he?
Of course not. Are you crazy?
Well, was he invited?
Of course he was invited. He even said he was coming.
What do you mean, of course he was invited? We weren't invited.
Well, you're a Democrat.
No, I'm not.
I'm kidding. I have no idea. Of course you were invited. Everybody's invited.
No,
they don't send out
invitations.
I don't
believe we were. But I mean, they probably thought that I would stand up and start shrieking at the Republicans, or maybe they thought the Republicans. Were
I don't even. I don't even think they even thought about that. I just think they, you know, you're up in the middle of the night going to work, and I didn't get home until 11 o'clock.
It is an odd situation where the best case scenario for Juliet is that they chose not to invite her because of her political leanings,
right?
Not because
well, I mean,
of
that's
oversight.
The sad thing. I mean, yes. Well, because it's totally. They know that I'm independent. I
well,
right
this
on
this was a very partisan crowd last night, Juliet. This was the GOP. And banging their party's drums.
So it was who was the group that was honoring them?
Yeah, the Nassau County GOP.
Oh, yeah, well, that's why.
Yeah, this was not your gig.
Gotcha.
This is not your gig.
What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show today?
Well, we've got Bo Deedle, of course, on a Tuesday. Bo is always great. And the only thing I care about today is the Yankees and the Red Sox tonight. And I've got a guy coming on who not only is the greatest men's fashion designer in the history of the business, but he is Mr. Boston Red Sox, our dear friend, the beautiful Joseph Abboud, who somehow is not going to. I text him yesterday, I go, I want to go with you to Fenway. I've been to Fenway with him once. I don't have any tickets. I said, wait a second. You're Joseph Abboud. You know, like during like Knick games, I always find Chris Rock on TV.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
Every game on Nesson, if Abood's in the stands, they put him on. I go, you're Mr. Bond. You sit in Ted Williams' seat. He has no tickets. But he'll be on today to talk about the other big game tonight and all the sounds I've got with Bucky Dent, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Very cool. By the way, I would be happy to go to a Republican or a Democratic event because I'm neither. I'm both. I'm nothing.
Yeah, I really highly doubt that. I really just thought you guys get up in the middle of the night, which you do, go to work, and it's asking a lot to be at some event and then show up here in the middle of the night and do your show. I think that was probably the case.
If the Red Sox win tonight, you got to invite Jeffrey Lyons on tomorrow.
I love Jeffrey.
To a victory lap.
I can't believe you're friends with Jeffrey. That's great. I love that guy.
He's a big fan of yours.
Oh, hey. Thank you.
Listen to Sid and Bernie coming up right after the show at 6 o'clock.
Thank you, Juliet.
Four Italian family members are dead after a winemaking mishap. It happened in the Calabria region. This is news you can use, people. The group was taking part in an annual winemaking tradition when they succumbed to carbon dioxide poisoning. Apparently, the room wasn't properly ventilated during the fermentation process. And actually, one of the men was on house arrest after being convicted of stalking a former lover. He wasn't even supposed to be there.
Well, one more thing from as far as I'm concerned. Once again, it's a Netflix story. Netflix is bringing its randomized shuffle feature to its mobile app. Play something, chooses a TV show or movie based on a user's viewing history and preferences. The feature can be used as early as Monday as the company rolls out Play Something to all Android mobile devices around the globe. The company said it lets Netflix members find new shows and movies when they don't want to make decisions.
So it just pops something on and
exactly.
You're like, oh,
it
maybe
says,
this looks interesting.
Right, you've watched this show before. You've watched that show. This is what you want to watch next.
I love it immediately.
That's an interesting idea. I like that. I don't know if I would ever use it because if you, the second you see something, you're like, I'm not going to be interested in this. You know, it's you've got to be willing to commit.
Absolutely.
To commit to watching at least a minute of it.
You got to be adventurous.
Exactly. That's it for us. Hope everybody has a wonderful Tuesday. We will be back here at 5 a.m. tomorrow.
Stay tuned to the Bernie and Sid Show with Joseph Abood and Bo Dietl.
Joseph Abood, one handsome gentleman, I'll tell you that. Love is closed.
Have a good day.
Bye.